Today we're going to be learning the second sicha in Parshas Matos in Chelek Yud Gimel. So in this parsha, it tells the story about the Jews fighting a war with Midian. And after this battle, after they were victorious and they brought home spoils of war, prisoners and animals, etc., HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded the Jews and he said to them that you have to count all of the animals and prisoners, etc., that you brought home, and you have to divide these spoils in half. And where is this division going to go to? Half will go to those who went out to war, in other words, the soldiers, and half will be given to the rest of the congregation, the Jews who stayed home. And then you have to, v'hari meisa meches l'Hashem, you have to bring up a tribute or a tax to Hashem from the soldiers, from the people who went out to war. They will have to give echad nefesh mechamesh ha-meis, one out of every 500 people, one out of every 500 of the cattle, the sheep, the donkeys, and it specifies. And then it's going to be given to Elazar HaKayin from the soldiers that will go to the Kayin. And after that, Machtzis B'nei Yisrael, and the half that went to the rest of the Jews, you have to take Echad Achos Min HaChamishim. You have to take one out of every 50. And that, where will that go? That will be given to the Levim. And then the Pasuk finishes, Bayas Moshe Ve'Elazar HaKayin, and Moshe and Elazar the Kayin did Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, what Hashem commanded Moshe. So that was the first set of instructions given. You take all the spoils, you have to count it all out, you have to divide. Half goes to the soldiers, half goes to the Jewish community. The half that goes to the soldiers will be given to Elazar, one out of every 500. And then from the half that goes to the Jewish people, one out of every 50 will go to the Levim. And Moshe and Elazar did what Hashem commanded. After that, you can see there's this whole long section. The Pasuk goes into very specific details about the amount of each specific type of animal that was captured, how much there were, then the total of the half, it was divided, you know, how much the soldiers got and how much the Jews got, and it goes into very specific details, each species individually and specifically. And the same thing with the half that goes to the Jews. And then it finishes by the last section, Machtzis B'nei Yisrael, by the half that went to the Jews of each of the species, one out of 50. But it doesn't say the number, how much actually was one out of 50. So by the first section, by the soldiers, it says how many animals there were and then how much one out of 500 was of each specific animal. And by the section that went to the Jews, it says how many there were, but it doesn't detail how much one out of 50 was. So here we have the question. It's not understood. If we're asking the question, why would it be that it should take the Pasuk should give such lengthy details of all of these numbers? Wouldn't it be enough to say, Hashem said, divide up the spoils, etc., etc., take one out of 500, one out of 50, and end by that first section where we say that Elazar and Moshe did what Hashem wanted? Wouldn't that be enough? What difference does it make for me to know the number of the spoils in general and each specific group in particular? What are we gaining here? And even if we would say that the Torah wants, for whatever reason, to give us the specifics of this situation, it would be enough to give us the amount of the spoils, then we could figure it all out. You know, you take a calculator, you know, and you figure out. If I have 100 cows, so if I have to give one out of 50, then it's two cows. Or if I have 1,000 sheep and I have to give one out of 500, so it's two sheep. We could figure that out. On the other hand, if the Torah is Taka needs to give us the specifics, then why doesn't he give us the specifics of that last section that the one out of 50 that the Jews got, this is how much it is? In other words, we have all these calculations except for the last part. So I could say, why do I need the calculations for? I could figure it out. But if the Torah wants to give me calculations, why is that last part left out? And to add to these questions, so if we're learning all this is Pshutei Shel Mikra, right? We're reading the text. If I have this question, then who's supposed to give me an answer? Rashi. Rashi's supposed to give an answer, because as we've discussed many times, the Rebbe says that Rashi answers all the challenges and difficulties in the Psukim. So Rashi doesn't say anything about this. So since Rashi doesn't give an answer here, clearly it must be that if I'm learning these Psukim according to the literal meaning, there is no hardship. Now the fact that we're having a hardship means that we're not thinking it through clearly. So the Rebbe says, we have to understand somewhere in Pshutei Shel Mikra, we have to understand that all of this makes sense. There is a reason why there's all of these details given, except for the last part. So the Ramban gives an explanation to let us know that from the day the spoils were brought, till the time that they were all counted, till it was divided, until the tribute was given of this whole huge amount of livestock and prisoners and so on, not one died. That's which is actually amazing. This is a huge miracle. And this was true for the half that went to the Jews, and this was true for the half that went to the soldiers. And this is, when we say, like, this is really an amazing thing. You know, we don't always stop to think about it. We read in the Pasuk, they had the war, they had the spoils. Hashem said, divide the spoils. They divided the spoils, and it looks like it took about a half hour, because that's how long it takes us to read it in the Chumash. But truthfully, it was a huge amount, and it took a long time. And throughout all of this time, none of the animals died. And that's what the Ramban says. So it gives us all the details. We should know how wonderful this was. Nevertheless, in addition to the question of why the tribute to the Levium is not detailed, in other words, that one out of 50 from the Jews that went to the Levium, why is that not detailed? According to Pshat, why would we, if we're just reading the Pshat of the Psukim, why did Hashem make this miracle? So that there should not be a loss of money for Bnei Yisrael. That would seem to be the Pshat. You know, Hashem made this wonderful thing happen, that all of these spoils were collected, and the Jews did not lose by it. It all stayed. No one died. They didn't lose anything. So the Rebbe asked the question, we don't usually see that there should be any miraculous event for the fact that Bnei Yisrael should not suffer a monetary loss. And there's many ways for Hashem to ensure that Bnei Yisrael shouldn't suffer this monetary loss. Why would this be the way that Hashem ensures that the Jews don't suffer this loss? So the Rebbe says to explain, it could have just stated in the Pasuk, Hashem's command, divide everything in half, then take the tribute, and then the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu fulfilled this command, and there would be an opening for a big question in the simple reading. In the normal course of events, when we talk about spoils, captives, etc., it's not usual for the numbers to end up being so perfectly divided into groups of 50 or 500. Think about this. Hashem says to Moshe, you need to take one out of 500 from the soldiers to give to the Kohanim, and you need to take one out of 50 from the community to give to the Levim. That there should end up being groups of 50, groups of 500 from each species without there being any leftovers, remainders, you know, when you do long division and then there's remainders, what's left over. There would have, if we're just looking at Pshutei Shel Mikra, then there should have been a specific command. What do we do with the remainder? That means if I have, as we said, 1,000, so I have out of every 500, means I have to take two. But what if I had 1,216? So I take two, one out of 500, and then what about the 216? How am I going to give the tax from the 216. There's no answer in the pasuk. If I'm just reading Pshutei Shel Mikra, there is no explanation. What should I do with this leftover? There should have been a specific command or instruction of what to do. And therefore, the pasuk details the exact numbers so that we see that every group, wondrously, there was an exact number, 1 to 50 or 1 to 500, and there were no remainders. Now, the Rebbe specifies, he said, it's not a miracle in the sense of overturning nature, like the specific example, like Abraham not being burnt in the Kifshan Ha'esh, in the furnace of fire in Ur Kasdim. That is actually turning over the laws of nature. Here, it's not that kind of miracle, because nature does not preclude the possibility that there's going to be an exact number, but it's wondrous in the fact that this is very unusual, that every single group, every single species had an exact number, either the one of 500 or the one of 50. So it is something wondrous. And this is Pshutei Shel Mikra, that when I'm just reading, I would wonder where the explanation or the instructions are for the remainders. So the pasuk tells me there were no remainders, there were perfect groupings. Now, the Rebbe continues, and he says, after the command where it says, V'harimaisa mechas l'Hashem, that you should raise up a tribute to Hashem from the 500 from the soldiers and one from 50 from the rest of the Jews, the pasuk, once again, he says, Mimachtzisam, from this stress, because the word seems extra, it's obvious that Hashem wants this tax from the 50 and the 500, it should be from the total of each half. So, because it says, you should take from all of these, and you should take from all of these. And again, it says, Mimachatzisam, from the half. So that means that it should be, the word is stressed, that it should be from the total of each half. And if there would have been extra, that part, maybe it would seem, would not have had to be taxed. So, it's still not understood that Hashem commanded to have the spoils. Let's take all the spoils, split them in half. And when we say split them in half, what does that indicate? Two equal portions. So seemingly, since the spoils, that there was a huge number, was a very, very large amount, and it certainly must have taken a huge amount of time from beginning to end of the count. And after this count, then they had to divide it in half. And after that, they raised the tax. And although typically, even though in all this time, what would we normally expect? That, you know, that the numbers are going to change. No, but in all this time, that one person or animal died out of this huge number. Because if even one would have died, then there would not have been an exact even split. And there would have been a section that would have not been taxed. So the pasuk specifies the numbers of the half to Bnei Yisrael to let us know that the sum of the second half is exactly equal to the total of the first half. So I know that they got X amount and they got X amount exactly equal. No leftovers, and that in this whole space of time, no animal died, no person died. It stayed exactly half and exactly half. And therefore, the pasuk specifies the number of the half to Bnei Yisrael to let us know that the sum of the second half is exactly equal to the total of the first half. And this is an additional, again, a wondrous, unusual, completely unusual. The Rebbe stresses that it's a completely unusual thing that happened, that nothing died, no one died. Again, it's not against nature. The Rebbe stresses it again. But it was something that actually had to, there's no way you could say it's chance. This was specifically done by Hashem in order to facilitate that the Jews should fulfill Hashem's command. And how would that be possible? It necessitated there should be two equal halves. Half for the Jews and half for the fighters, for the soldiers, and there should be no leftovers. So after all the details and relating the important aspect that there was an exact replication between the two groups, then already it's not necessary to detail the amount of the 1 out of 50, since already itself understood that the important part, that there was an exact amount, that there was an exact breakdown, that there was no leftovers, that no animal or person died. So that's the general statement that Moshe Rabbeinu took from the half from the Jews, 1 out of 50. That's enough. Now I don't already have to break up the actual numbers. If I want to, I could figure it out. But what we're being shown here is that it was exactly the same for both. There was no leftovers, nothing extra that could not be taxed, and that no animal or person died in this whole situation, and that it was all able to be done to fulfill the command of Hashem perfectly, that every single animal and person and prisoner was able to be, that Meiser, the tax, was taken out this way, it was made holy. So from a halachic perspective, the Rebbe says, besides I'm reading the Pshat, I read the Pshat, the Psukim, I understand, wow, Hashem orchestrated this whole thing that after the war with Midian and they took the spoils and they divided it up and all of the spoils were able to be elevated, that every single part of the spoils, a tax was taken to give either to the Kohanim or to the Levim. But the Rebbe continues and he says that also from straight halacha, from the halachic perspective, there is a further way to explain the difference that the Pasuk specifies the number of the tax from the soldiers, but not the number of the tax from the Jews. When I'm reading the Peshutei Shel Mikra, I just see it as, okay, it explains first the soldiers, and now that I understand how it worked with the soldiers, I don't need to go into complete detail for the section of the Jews. But from halachic perspective, there's an additional explanation. And the Rebbe says that according to the Shitas HaBahag, so Bahag is Hilchos G'dayleis, which was one of the first compilations right at the end of the time of the Ga'inim, with this halachis based on each parsha. So he says that the chiyuv, the obligation to take the tax from the spoils of Midian, is one of these in the count of the 613 mitzvahs. The Rambam differs, and he says that since this concept is not continued throughout the generations, it's not in the count of the 613 mitzvahs. So we have here an argument. Is it or isn't it part of the count of the 613 mitzvahs? The Rambam says no, because it doesn't continue through the generations. So the Ramban explains that the Shitas HaBahag is saying that he holds that it is continued for future generations. So, but the Zayar Arkia brings the Gemara and he says, no, the Gemara says that it's not for future generations. So there's this whole argument back and forth. Is it or is it not that Trumas Midian, the tribute for Midian, is not for future generations? So the explanation is that only from Bnei Yisrael, only the part that's from the community is not for generations. Why? Because this is the only time where the Jews were actually given spoils from the war. That means that usually the soldiers, the fighters who go out to war, they take spoils. The idea to now take the spoils and divide it in half and give half to the community of Bnei Yisrael that didn't go to war, that only happened in Midian. That did not continue for generations. So in other words, the community of Jews would never have this mitzvah again because they never got the spoils of war. The soldiers, on the other hand, that would continue. Whenever there would be a war and soldiers would go out to fight and they would take spoils, they would have to give a tax, a tribute to the Kohanim from those spoils of war. So we see there's a difference halachically that the truma from the soldiers who go to war and take the spoils, that does continue on for generations. So according to this discussion, we can explain that the lengthy details of the pasuk regarding the tax for the soldiers, I understand why, because that's going to continue for generations. But the half from the community where it just stops and says, and Moshe Rabbeinu took 1 out of 50 and it doesn't give me all the details of the numbers, I understand because it does not continue on for generations. So I understand that the narrative is shorter. So we basically, the Rebbe has explained that this whole idea that there's a huge explanation, a huge narrative about the spoils of war and how the count went and how it was divided and how much exactly was given. So the Rebbe says it's clearly not an issue. Rashi is not explaining it. If we just read according to the pshat, we're just reading, we understand that nothing died, nothing changed. The Jews were able to fulfill the entire mitzvah. And if I want to check, if I want to go further and say halachically, there is more detail about the first half, about the soldiers, than the second half, about the Jews, because that mitzvah would continue for generations for the soldiers, but it would not continue for the Jewish community, because they would not get spoils in the future. And therefore, there doesn't have to be so much elaboration, because that mitzvah would not continue for generations. So this is a very interesting discussion, but as we know, every single thing that the Rebbe said always is with a view to a hara, a practical application, a lesson. What is it that I need to learn from all of this? I'm going to be reading this, we'll be saying it in Chitas, we'll hear it in Shul, on Shabbos in the Parsha. What do we need to understand when we're reading all of these details about exactly how many numbers, aside from the wondrousness that, how amazing this whole situation was? We need to recognize, the Rebbe says, how great, how the chavivus, the preciousness of the fulfillment of mitzvahs by Bnei Yisrael, that all of these concepts that are not common at all are written down in very great detail and very great, very specific, in order to show how precious it is to Hashem that Bnei Yisrael should be able to fulfill the mitzvah completely and totally in its entirety. Not only at the time there should be no confusion, in other words, while we're actually doing the mitzvah, there shouldn't be any confusion or stumbling blocks, but think about how well beforehand Hashem orchestrates and makes the whole cause and effect, that even after a long space of time, we should be able to fulfill the mitzvah. In other words, in our case, when you think about this, that Hashem orchestrated and made it possible that there should be an exact number, and there are details. He says we have to understand that. Think about this: how long beforehand, before the war, that Hashem made, he made this whole situation, kama v'kama sibis, many, many different ways and explanations that the people of Midian should think that I'm going to raise my animals in a certain way, and I'm going to have them at a certain time. All of this is going to happen, that at the time when the Jews are going to come and they're going to fight the battle and they're going to take the spoils, that Bnei Yisrael should be able then to be able to give a tribute and a tax on their spoils in the exact number, in the exact amount, and there should not be any spoils that are untaxed, that have not been made holy. The orchestration that Hashem puts into place well before the situation even arises, in order that we should be able to fulfill a mitzvah in its entirety and to do it completely. And so the Rebbe says, here is the hira l'kol echad v'echad, for each single one of us, that we should never get confused or feel like it's impossible and say, there's just no way I could do this mitzvah, and there's such a stumbling block for me to do this. Sometimes it seems to us that it's just not possible to fulfill a mitzvah, but we should not give hope. We should know that we have to trust in Hashem, that Hashem makes it possible for us to be able to fulfill any mitzvah in its entirety and completely. And this is so, so amazingly relevant today, when we're like, we can't go out of the house, we can't go here, we can't go there. It seems like there are such difficulties in everything we have to do, but any mitzvah that needs to be done properly and so on, we have the capacity. Hashem puts before us the possibility that we should be able to do the mitzvah completely and totally. Maybe it wasn't the way we thought it was going to be, but if we really put our trust that Hashem wants us to do the mitzvah, and Hashem takes great pleasure and loves the mitzvah, and that Hashem prepares everything that we need in order to be able to fulfill every mitzvah until we make the world completely ready for Mashiach, speedily, very, very soon.